Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
I just want to acknowledge a God not just of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances, because that is the reality of our shared humanity.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is.
What essential difference is there between those humans that Gosnell killed after birth and those he killed before?
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
All of us have one, and on this coming Sunday, in addition to what the church does normally, the church always gives a little bit of a tip of the hat, maybe a nod and a wink to what is essentially a secular celebration. Not a bad one, but one that, you know, for reasons I don't understand, always falls on a Sunday. Maybe it's a good day for the family to get together, and church has become woven into the celebration of Mother's Day in that people will take mom to church, or they'll go to church with mom. Of course, the Bible has a lot to say about mothers. In fact, motherhood is essential in a way that perhaps other vocations aren't. It's essential in the sense that the plan of salvation that God purposed from before the foundation of the world has as an integral part of its execution and really, let's just use the word properly, its incarnation, a mother. A human mother. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, May the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the vocation of mother for the first hour of the program. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. A little bit later in hour two, we will get a pastoral concern on Mother's Day, especially for Christian congregations. Pastor Michael Schuerman and his wife Katie Schuerman will join us, and then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us to talk about some media coverage of big stories, the Pentagon and its policy toward religious proselytization. We'll talk about religious freedom, that issue, and the Benghazi whistleblowers, and we'll pick up where we left off with Molly last time, talking about the trial of Philadelphia abortionist charged with multiple counts of murder, Kermit Gosnell, how the media is covering that. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or you can go to our Facebook fan page. Leave a question or a comment for Pastor Peter Bender as we talk about the vocation of motherhood, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. The listener with the best question or comment during this hour on the vocation of motherhood will receive a new Bible study for women titled Pew Sisters, 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, what a wonderful day to be with you.
Talk about the uniqueness of this particular vocation in that this is a vocation through which God has chosen to save the world, literally.
Our creation and our salvation come together here in this wonderful vocation of mother. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, you see in the creation of man on the sixth day, male and female, he created them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And then Satan comes into the Garden of Eden, and he attacks humanity by going after Eve, tempting her to turn away from the God whose word gave life. And sin was brought into the world as in Adam all die, and so in Christ all shall be made alive. And it affected them right away at the beginning. The first child that was born becomes a murderer. Cain murders his brother Abel. But in that fall into sin, where Satan attacks humanity at its core, male and female, and those vocations of husband and wife and father and mother, God's very first promise of salvation. He speaks in Genesis 3:15, and it involves motherhood, and it involves the seed of the woman. He says to the devil there, I'll put enmity between you, devil, and the woman, between your seed, devil, and her seed. He, the seed of the woman, will crush your head, and you will crush his heel. And, of course, it's a riddle that speaks of the virgin birth of the Son of God, the seed of the woman, who would crush the serpent's authority and power to condemn and damn by himself suffering the bruising of his heel in his death upon the cross. And ever since that time then, even Eve, believing that promise, when Cain is born, she says, I've gotten a man who is the Lord, who is going to defeat Satan. She had the right theology, but the wrong son. It was the son of Mary that would be the seed of the woman that would do this saving work. But what a wonderful thing. As devastating as sin was that came into the world through that first family, that first union between a man and a woman, and affected them so deeply, in pain you will bring forth children, yet God did not throw humanity away, but he enters into humanity to redeem and save through a woman, the Virgin Mary, and redeems creation in the incarnation and in the atonement.
Well, before we get into the vocation itself, we should also note, in connection with everything you just said so well there, that there's another image of motherhood that the church finds reflected so beautifully in Scripture, and that is a picture of the church itself. Talk about that.
Oh, you know, I'd like to talk about that by going to John 19, the Passion according to St. John, and there's this curious section in there where, as Jesus is dying upon the cross, he sees his mother, and he sees John, called the disciple whom he loves, and he says, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And to be sure, Jesus is showing his particular love and care for his mother at that moment. Of course, he is honoring her under the fourth commandment at that moment. He is being the firstborn son, fulfilling his obligation to care for his mother at that moment. But there's something even more there. In Genesis, again, when God created Eve from Adam's side and brought Eve to Adam, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And then it's recorded there, she shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So now, fast forward to the Passion, when Jesus says, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. It's indicating not only his honor for her, but that he is the second Adam, who is leaving his father and mother, as it were, and cleaving to his wife, his bride, the church. And John, in a few verses later, speaks about the blood and water that comes out of Jesus' side by which the second Eve is created, who is not only the bride of Christ, but then the mother of all of the faithful. The womb is the font of holy baptism by which we are born from above of water and the Spirit, and we are nurtured at our mother's breast, as it were, through word and sacrament in the church. So you have this wonderful interplay going on. And in the book of Revelation, it speaks how that dragon, that serpent of old, is after the woman and her son. And that includes not simply the devil's pursuit of Mary, the virgin, and her son Jesus, born of her, but also of the church and of Christ and his offspring, as it were, the baptized faithful whom the devil pursues. But we're safe. We're safe in Christ and in his bride, our mother, the church, through the blessed gospel and sacraments that she nurtures us with there.
With about a minute before we take our break, speak about the vocation of motherhood as we have before when we've talked about vocation. As paired with another vocation and then connected to yet another, it's connected to wife, it's paired with husband. We usually speak of parents. What are your thoughts there with about a minute before we take our first break?
Well, it's very important for me when talking anytime about Christian vocation that we understand vocation is a calling to live by faith in the gospel of God's free grace and love in Christ. And that shapes the way we look at every station in life that we have. And there are pairings because we live in relationship to one another, and we live out our faith in Christ in relationship to one another. So a husband is a husband because he's united to his wife, and a mother is a mother because she received love and life from her husband, and out of the two of them, life was brought into the world. So those relationships are always very important. And then the gospel frames and gives deep insight and understanding of what it is to be husband, father, wife, and mother, which we can explore it at greater length after the break.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest on this Friday afternoon, May the 10th, in advance of Mother's Day. We're talking about the vocation of mother. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. We are coming to you live on this Friday afternoon. The listeners with the best questions or comments on the vocation of mother this hour will receive a new Bible study for women titled Pew Sisters. 1-877-623-MYIE, facebook.com/issuesETC.
Dear Mama,
please, no one above you,
you all appreciate it.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month, we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Mother, should I run for president?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with Pastor Peter Bender about the vocation of motherhood on this Friday afternoon, May the 10th. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, before we go on, tell us a little bit about the CCA.
The CCA is an auxiliary of our congregation here at Peace in Sussex. The Concordia Catechetical Academy exists for promoting Luther's small catechism, faithful Lutheran catechesis in the church at large. We publish catechetical materials, and we host an annual symposium every June on some aspect of catechesis. This year's symposium, June 19th, 20th, and 21st, 1 week after your conference, is on catechesis and contemporary challenges to the Christian faith and life. We'll have Dr. Dean Wenthe, President Emeritus and Professor at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, with us. He's going to be talking about this very area that we're talking about now, that touches on marriage and family and the sanctity of marriage and of life, and holding up the positive virtues of the Christian worldview in that area. We'll also have other presenters talking about the scourge of homosexuality and postmodernism, and then the Christian's troubled conscience and Anfechtungen, as the German expression is for a scandalized conscience. So that's every June we have that symposium, and we produce catechetical materials for parishes, homeschoolers, families to use at the home, Lutheran day schools, so forth.
Folks, you can find out more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Where do we begin then? We were talking before the break about how all of these vocations, including motherhood, as profound as it is, are always found in relationship to other vocations. So where do we begin to talk about this vocation of motherhood?
Well, I think we need to go back to the Genesis material that we opened up with. And God created man in his image to be in a community of loving persons, for the purpose of the giving and the receiving of life. And we live in a culture and a time in which sex and procreation are divorced from what the Bible defines as what it is to be human and what marriage is. And this has resulted in and is continuing to result in a devaluation of human life. Life, human life, comes from fathers and mothers who are united together in one flesh. And it is God's will that this be in the gift of marriage. And it is a way in which what God began at creation, when he spoke that selfless, self-giving, life-giving word, how he continues that work of creation in us. And so we are given the privilege as men and women in marriage and family, as fathers and mothers, to actually participate with God in his creative work. It shows this unique aspect of God's way in all of human life. He provides for daily bread, not by the genie in the bottle kind of approach where, poof, there's the loaf of bread on the table. He provides for house and home, not by, poof, there it is. But he gives us the privilege of engaging in work in the various pursuits of our stations in life and callings. And in this particular case, he gives us the privilege of, in our case, Todd, being fathers. And in the case of our wives, being mothers, to receive love and life from us as their husbands, to nurture that life in their womb, to give birth to that life. And if at the risk of maybe sounding a little bit crass or flippant, it's as if God takes great delight and is giddy over seeing us participate with him in bringing life into the world, nurturing that life. And as he gave life at the beginning, at creation, not for his own benefit or self-interests, so we, when we enter into marriage, and then when we come together in one flesh as husbands and wives to have children, it's not so that our children can serve us and do something for us. It is for love's sake that we do this, just as it was for love's sake that God created. And we wanted to give of ourselves to each other in marriage and in children. And so also God wanted to give of himself to us in our creation. And this is a profound Christian understanding and worldview. And what is governing our society and culture is a worldview that is the opposite. It's me, myself, what I want. I will not be denied my rights, my prerogatives. And it's completely self-centered, and therefore it's destructive, as we see in this horrible court case that the jury can't seem to be able to decide something as basic as the fact that infanticide was committed by this abortion doctor, and by all abortion doctors, frankly.
It's almost impossible. It is impossible to talk about motherhood from a biblical perspective as a biblical vocation without acknowledging that, and it's not unique to our culture today, although we have refined the technology to a point
that other
cultures and times never have, and so we are able to do it with gruesome efficiency and also with legal protection of, you know, what is euphemistically called privacy. But how do we as a church speak about motherhood, not only as a vocation, but simply about motherhood in what others have called a culture of death, and that is death at the hands of, often, complicitous with, mothers?
I think we have to hold up the virtues of it, and the virtues of suffering for the sake of the life and lives of our children. When God said to Eve, "In pain you will bring forth children," every mother knows what that is, and it's much more than simply the pain of child birthing. That's the easy part in a lot of ways. It's the pain and the suffering that a Christian mother goes through. That all mothers go through if they take seriously their responsibility to raise their children, to care for them, to nurture them, to shoulder their burdens, to make sacrifices for them, who worry about them, who shed tears over them. Mothers uniquely do that in ways that fathers are often not touched by that kind of an emotional burden. And for us as Christians, we want to hold that up as a good thing, as the right thing. And we also want to encourage our mothers that to see their office of suffering for the sake of their children, for the sake of the life of their children, for the sake of the salvation of their children, as being connected to Jesus' sufferings for our life and for our salvation. The way he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, in a very real sense, mothers are doing the same thing when they shed their tears and when they do the hard work sacrificing themselves in the care of their children. But we need to hold that up not as a negative, but as a positive thing, as the way in which we show the superiority of the Christian worldview over any other religion and any other worldview. It's the worldview that lays down its life so that another might live. And that's something that Christians bring into their understanding of every vocation that we occupy.
There are, we talked earlier about the connection of the vocation of wife to mother, which is obvious, or ought to be obvious, but it isn't always the reality that mothers are faced with. Sometimes they are mothers apart from a legal husband, and sometimes they're mothers apart from a husband because of death. Sometimes they are that so-called single parent there. And often in the case of divorce, they are left to be mother by themselves. Talk about those situations.
And the brokenness of sin, causes these phenomena. And so it's very important that we as pastors, as church, not simply condemn the evils of society, but when brokenness happens, that we are there to support the single mother in doing what is right, in caring for, in helping her, in assisting her in caring for her children, in keeping the baby and not aborting the child, in offering various supports of charity and mercy to support her in her calling. These are all very important tasks so that we're not simply shaking the finger at the evil of societies and saying, shame on you, and how some of those sins and brokennesses come into the church, but that we are offering forgiveness in Christ Jesus, and we're offering mercy, and we're not compounding one evil with, you know, additional evils and so forth. A lot of times divorces happen through no fault of that mother. A lot of times she's abandoned through no fault of hers. Sometimes it's all a fault of her. Then what? Then there's repentance, there's confession, and there's absolution, and Christ makes all things new by his word of forgiveness. And then where the mother's husband has failed to be father, then the church picks up the slack, and the mother is directed to Christ, who ultimately provides for everything that we lack.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We'll be right back.
Pleading I denied, that leaves only me to blame, 'cause mama tried.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Vinker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person.
For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the vocation of mother on this Friday afternoon, May the 10th, in advance of the world. And the church also acknowledges, to some degree, Mother's Day. So we're talking about the vocation of mother. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. You spoke earlier about, and I think the term you used was to receive life and then to pass on life. It sounds as though we're talking about one of the things that makes the vocation of motherhood unique is that it is a conduit for life. We usually say procreation. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, and I meant the specifically, she receives life from her husband. Now, we know, you know, biologically, there's the sperm and there's the woman's egg and so forth that come together. And in that sense, you could say, you know, they're equal parts. But there's this giving and receiving that goes on in the human one-flesh union that is indicative of the giving and receiving that God has with us as our creator, and we're the recipients of his love and life in creation. And then that continues to play out in the interplay between a husband and wife within marriage. The wife, as mother, does a tremendous amount of giving of herself for the care of her children. I mean, they are literally suckling at her breasts. But in order to be able to give of herself to her children, she needs to herself be a recipient of love and life from her husband. And so I like to say that it's fundamentally masculine within marriage to give and to sacrifice oneself for the wife. It's fundamentally feminine in marriage that the wife is receiving that love and life for her husband. But there's also this profoundly strong way in which she who has received then gives of herself in the care and nurture of her children. Adam is charged with the primary responsibility of, as head of the household, of caring for the children, and yet it is his wife who is his helpmeet. She has the breasts. He cannot do it. It's impossible for him to do it apart from her. And that kind of interdependency is a very, very important thing to emphasize, too.
All these vocations, especially the ones pertaining to the family, but every vocation that God gives us in some way changes over time. It may pass away, as in various vocations in life, various occupations. It may last for life, but then change with the changing circumstances of life. How does motherhood change over the course of the life of her children?
Well, obviously, when the children are young, the degree of dependence upon her is extremely strong, and how much she has to give to them is extremely great. But the call upon children to honor their mother endures for a lifetime and beyond. And by beyond, I mean even if when the mother dies, the surviving children, for the sake of God's own command and teaching the next generation, need to honor the memory of that mother. And if we have time, we should talk about my own mother, but because it is, after all, Mother's Day coming up. But it's a unique story, and she's still, praise God, still living and is just a couple of blocks from my own church here in Sussex, but she's had a unique life. And if I ever write a book on Christian vocation, I will certainly dedicate it to her, because I've learned much from what God worked in her life.
Well,
go ahead.
Before we get to our listeners' questions, what would that book give us a synopsis of what that book would read like?
Well, I wanted to talk all about the table of duties, Christian vocation in general, but the reason I'd like to dedicate it to my mother is that in her, I've seen God's miraculous work. She was one of 10 children. Her mother died when she was 6 years old. One of her earliest memories is to see the farmhouse bed with the bloody sheets where her mother passed away in childbirth. And she and her siblings were all taken to the Lutheran orphanage in Addison, Illinois. And the catechesis that they received there, and how the pastors and the teachers and the orphanage environment of prayer and Bible story provided them what they needed. Every one of those children continued on in the Christian faith, and the tenacity with which they held on to their Lord and Savior, in my mother's case, was adopted by another family when she was 9 years old, and continues every day to have devotions every morning, come hell or high water, without fail, and the way in which she's given of herself to so many. She worked as a letter carrier. She would take her breaks on her route, not for herself, but to read devotions to some of her elderly patrons, or wash their dishes or something like that. These are stories that only a son who is privy to certain things, not because she's bragged about them, but because of being close to her, has seen a concrete gospel at work, giving of oneself in life and in love, not just as my mother and a mother to my siblings, but a mother to others, without any thought of reward, without any thought of being praised and receiving anything in return, but the joy of giving of oneself and seeing life prosper in another. That's what a mother is about.
Some questions from our listeners, beginning with Kate. Kate asks, how are we to practically deal with abusive or manipulative mothers? I understand respecting the office while realizing the person is a sinner, but how can one show honor and love without capitulating to every whim to keep the peace? How do adult children deal with their parents as fellow sinners and Christians? That's a great question, Kate. Pastor Bender.
First, I preface it by saying, when our fathers and mothers fail us, the Lord will take care of us. That's what the psalmist says, and that's important to underscore, and that's why the church needs to be there for those people. Secondly, we honor them not because they're worthy of it, not because they've deserved it, but because of God's word and command, for God's sake. Third, we pray for them. A lot of people think prayer is nothing, but prayer is not nothing. It's what God calls us to do. We pray not only for them, but we also pray in our prayers that we would be given the strength to be faithful as their children, only doing what God has given us to do, and not usurping their office. Of course, we are not to do anything that they would demand us to do that's contrary to God's word. But there's only so much we can do as children. And sometimes the best way to give testimony to the gospel is bearing and suffering the failings and shortcomings of an abusive parent.
Allison in Wisconsin says, I'd like to hear Pastor Bender's thoughts on 1 Timothy 2:15, specifically the words, "She will be saved through childbearing." I grew up taking this verse to mean quite literally what it says, referring to all women, but then what about those women who never bear a child? More recently, I've heard the verse explained in reference to Mary's act of childbearing as the God-bearer, the Theotokos. Unfortunately, this is then where my mind runs off into that cutesy evangelical T-shirt slogan, "Body piercing saved my life." If the second interpretation is right, my main concern is that it could be pretty easily stretched into an argument for Mary as co-redemptrix.
Well, then let me give a third option.
Sure.
Okay. Verse 15 speaks about if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. We go back to the fall into sin and the curse of the fall, and pain you will bring forth children. Every month when a woman has her menstrual cycle, every pain associated with childbirth and child rearing is a reminder of the fall into sin. As such, it becomes kind of like the accusing finger of the law. And it can often give rise to the question, is there no salvation for me? Eve brought all of this upon us. is there any salvation for me? I'm a woman. I bear the curse of this all my life long. Well, she will be saved through childbearing, even though there is great pain associated with it, if she continues in the faith of her Lord Jesus Christ, in his love, and in the holiness of his word, with the self-control that is associated with faith. So it's a promise that though you experience the curse of the fall as a woman and as a mother, that does not mean that you are outside the salvation that God has brought into the world in Christ. Quite to the contrary. Do not let the pain of childbirth and of child-rearing in any way teach you that God does not love you and that salvation is not yours.
Jan in Atlanta has a question. Your guest comments are well-spoken and complimentary. I'm grateful and humbled by them, given Christ's remarks about the servants doing their duty and not expecting kudos for it. What did God mean in Genesis 3:16? And I guess you'd have to reference that passage. Let's take that up on the other side of the break. We'll get a chance to look at 3:16 and answer Jan's question from Atlanta. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of mother. And on the other side, we got another 10 minutes with him on this Friday afternoon, May the 10th. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. After another 10 minutes with Pastor Peter Bender, we'll continue in a similar vein in hour two of the program, talking about a pastoral concern for Mother's Day. Pastor Michael Schuerman will be our guest. He's author of a recent blog post titled Mother's Day, a Pastoral Plea, and his wife, Katie Schuerman. She is the wife of Pastor Schuerman and author of He Remembers the Barren. When we come back, we'll take up Jan's question about Genesis 3:16.
My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Jesus and Mama always loved me.
I know. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the vocation of motherhood. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peace Lutheran Church is a member of the Issues Etc. 300. It's a group of congregations that support Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. Now, your congregation right now is probably thinking about its next budget cycle because many congregations begin their fiscal year July the 1st. If they're making those decisions right now, that means it's time for you to ask your congregation either to join the Issues Etc. 300 or to renew their membership in the Issues Etc. 300, and it never hurts to ask. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find a one-page flyer on the support page that you can print off and take to your congregation. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Pastor Bender Jan in Atlanta had a question before the break asking simply, what did God mean in Genesis 3:16, the latter part of that verse? You have it before you. How would you answer her question?
I think she's probably referring to your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This is part of what's called the curse of the fall. The full verse is, to woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. That's curse. In pain you shall bring forth children. That's curse. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. That's curse. This word desire here in 3:16 is the same verb in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, when the Lord speaks to Cain about sin lying at the door and its desire is for you. Sin's desire was to, as it were, possess Cain, control Cain, and we saw how it did in a very self-centered sort of way. Well, one of the phenomena that has resulted from the fall into sin, it's a twofold, you talk about these pairings again, the man naturally, since the fall, abdicates his responsibility to be head, and particularly in the teaching of God's Word, and the woman naturally usurps or takes over that particular vacuum caused by the man abdicating his responsibility. So your desire shall be for your husband is as if it's saying for your husband's place, for his office, for his position of headship, but he shall rule over you. And so it becomes a great burden and challenge for a wife and mother when the husband and father is not doing what he's called to do, to still maintain her calling to be husband, to be wife, and to be mother, and to not attempt to do his job as well. And so that's part of what that verse is about.
Jenny in Urbana, Illinois says, how can moms best teach their children about Jesus and Lutheranism? What are everyday ideas for teaching preschool age kids who are with mom all day long? Should we have a focus on learning and memorizing things that they might not understand, or a focus on concepts? That's a question right up your alley, Pastor.
Great. Yes, great question. And the teaching of the faith to children is done in the ordinary things of life, and in the context of daily prayer, at the dinner table, before meals, at the close of meals, have a Bible story during the meal, talk about it, follow Luther's pattern there in the small catechism. And yes, when you're talking about very small children, teach them the words, and the words are God's word. Teach them the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and so forth. When they learn the commandments themselves, add the explanations. Teach them the creed itself. When they've learned that, then teach them the explanation and do it by heart. And yes, we teach the words and teach them to memorize that when they're very, very small, preschool and kindergarten. And believe me, Todd, the Word of God performs miracles. It creates faith. This is how we all learn language. We don't first say, you know, I'm not going to talk to my baby. That baby doesn't even understand the English language. When the baby learns to understand the English language, the vocabulary, grammar, and syntax, then I'll talk to that child. Well, then the child would grow up to be a dumb mute. No, we use words before they understand what the words mean, and a miracle takes place. The more we use them, the more they begin to understand them and take up the words themselves. And that's why parents are shocked when they hear the words coming back to them. They're hearing their own words that they themselves have taught. But the best way of teaching young children is to have it in the life of prayer and conversation, and learn to confess our sins as parents to our children and ask their forgiveness, even as we want them to confess to their siblings and to us when they've done wrong and receive our forgiveness. So it's not with a chalkboard or a flannel graph or a, you know, dry marker board or a PowerPoint presentation. You take up the Word of God in prayer and in meditation. You teach in the words of the catechism, and you live that out according to the pattern that Luther suggests there in the small catechism.
And we should say that, you know, for the mother who has the small kids around the house, she should, and as important as it is her for her to understand that teaching of the faith in everyday life, she also needs to feed them and change the diapers.
Absolutely.
And all those
Absolutely.
Other things, those are as needful in her vocation as is teaching the Christian faith.
Absolutely.
Kathy says, in a culture that so clings to individual rights and choice, how do we best approach the conversation about abortion in light of the vocation of motherhood? Just this morning, I was discussing abortion with a pro-choice person who was shocked that I would believe that a woman who was raped should bear her child. Would love to hear your thoughts on this, says Kathy.
I think we absolutely have to acknowledge the horrendous evil and defilement done to a woman who's been raped. We absolutely cannot deny that. Women feel shame and feel so dirtied by it, which is why they're sometimes so compelled to abort this child. But this child still is a human being. And I think the pastor needs to administer absolution first to these people who have been raped, to these women who have been defiled. You could say absolution, but they've done nothing wrong. They've not sinned. Well, they've not sinned, but they've been sinned against. And Christ's forgiving, sanctifying word must be spoken to them. And because it's only through that forgiving word of the gospel are they ever going to have the strength to do what Jesus did for those who are totally undeserving and unworthy, and that's die for us upon the cross. So only through the reception of the gospel and the cleansing power of that word of forgiveness will the mother ever be able to possibly, you know, give birth to that child, even though the child was conceived of in a rape situation. And I think the more we can connect what Christ has done for us that we wholly did not deserve, when we were enemies, Christ died for us. When we wanted him dead, he died for us, and he did it willingly. That's the linchpin that can make a connection for a Christian woman in why she might dare to have the child. Perhaps she gives the child up for adoption, but let's not compound two evils, one evil by a second evil, namely the scourge of abortion.
Finally, with only about a minute, let us return to where we began, speaking about motherhood, not only in its great value and the great gift it is for this life, but as a picture of the church, Christ's bride, and indeed the body of which he is the head. Your final thoughts with about a minute here, Pastor Bender.
Well, Todd, I really think that we in the church need to not be ashamed to hold up the examples of Elizabeth and the Virgin Mary. And what they took great delight in was receiving the gift of life, which was part of God's not only creative plan, but redemptive plan. As Elizabeth, in her old age, rejoices to receive the life of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of the Christ and prepare his way. She believed that no greater honor was given to her than she would be the mother of that prophet. And so also Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She calls him God my Savior, and she learned to believe that he was her Savior precisely because he entered into her flesh to redeem her with his own blood, that he had received from her whom he had created at the beginning. What a wonderful exchange. Here, the God who creates us has then entered into our world through the Virgin Mary and united himself with our flesh and blood. And this wonderful Paul Gerhardt hymn for Christmas, we should all memorize, you know, "He whom the sea and wind obey doth come to serve the sinner in great meekness. For God's own child in mercy mild joins thee to him. How greatly God must love thee. Thou Christian heart, whoe'er thou art, be of good cheer and let no sorrow move thee." For God's own child in mercy mild joins thee to him. How greatly God must love thee. It's a wonderful way in which we mothers are given the joyous privilege of saying, I'm able to give birth to a child, and my Savior became a child in the womb of Mary for me, that my giving birth to children might be sanctified, and that I might bring salvation through the word of the gospel also to my children. What a wonderful heritage and privilege.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Kate and Jenna, send us your mailing addresses, talkback@issuesetc.org. We will send you Pew Sisters, and thanks for everybody for their questions and their comments. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll take a pastoral concern on Mother's Day with Pastor Michael Schuerman and his wife, Katie Schuerman. And then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us to talk about media coverage of some big stories with religion angles. The Issues, Etc. book of the month for May is called Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Like all the Lutheranism 101 books, it is a primer on the subject that it covers, and it does it very well, beginning with Christ's institution and talking about the gift of baptism. You can find out more about Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., on this Friday, May the 10th.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.